Welcome to Resiliency Radio with Rick Allen and Lauren Monroe. Interactive radio to empower, educate, and inspire during difficult times. Featuring live interviews with celebrity guests and cutting-edge professionals working in the fields of health, wholeness, and resiliency. This program is brought to you by the Raven Drum Foundation's Veteran Resiliency Project and is dedicated to all our military and their families. For more information, visit us on the web at www.ravendrumfoundation.org. Welcome to Resiliency Radio, everyone. I'm Lauren Monroe, and I'm here with my very spectacular co-hosts, percussionists, humanitarians, and overall wonderful dudes, Rick Allen and Moon Calhoun.
Without further ado,
he's lively.
How are you two today? All right,
marvelous.
Pretty good.
Wonderful.
Pretty good.
We're blessed.
In contemplation.
Right on.
Well, that's a good place to be for this next episode. We're continuing our conversation with Kathy Late. So this is part two, and this show will be an introduction to the biofield therapy and healing touch, and we'll be focusing on healing and consciousness. So it's an extension of our last show. And this is pre-recorded. It's a wonderful experience for everybody. There is some activities that you do. There's some meditations that you talked about that were great. Didn't you guys like that? Mm-hmm. We did a heart meditation. She's going to talk about grounding and other ways you can integrate your heart and your mind together to do the work on yourself and for other people. So it's great. I really enjoyed this part of the interview.
Me too. By the way, I love you.
Oh, thanks, man.
And you too, Rick.
Cool, man. Thank you.
Well, one of the big things about this interview that we spoke about is the heart.
Yes.
And we were discussing that earlier,
mm-hmm.
the whole symbology of the heart and how we can move it into our awareness more in our daily life.
Mm. I could do with a bit of that.
a bit of heart.
Not me?
Lots of love in the world. Needs a lot of heart and healing. I was just asking Lauren how, you know, the physical heart, it's more than just the physical heart, but it's the what the heart represents is the soul, kind of the self, the real self.
Absolutely.
I was just asking what she thought of that.
In my experience, there's in many different religious faiths and different types of spiritual practices, the heart acts as a doorway and a gateway to other realms, into yourself, into a higher knowing. And it's a real powerful way. Even in this next interview, by putting your hands on your heart, you automatically connect. And you don't have to even have any guided words. As soon as you do that, there's a feeling, there's a presence, there's a feeling, there's a centering that happens just by putting your hands on your heart.
That's pretty amazing. Do you remember when we did that work in England? When we first met up with John and early days,
mm-hmm.
Raven Drum, and you were doing some exercises outside, and you partnered me with this woman, and she was a massage therapist, and I didn't know that at first. Anyway, we started doing this exercise where we walked away from each other, and then we stopped when we couldn't sense the other person, and then we came together, or we did it one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyway, at the end of the exercise, you said, "Go talk to your partner and talk about the experience you just went through." And I went through this incredible experience where I felt like somebody was holding my heart, and I told her about it. I said, "What's all that about?" I said, "Felt like somebody was holding my heart." She said, "Well, I'm actually a massage therapist, and at the end of every session, my visualization, my intent is to hold the person's heart."
Isn't that amazing?
That's awesome.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we are connected in that heart space.
Remember that, and also I want to say, remember the day you guys did Deeksha on me, and you put your hands on me and when I was in pain that one night a long time ago?
Yeah.
That... So it's like, for me, that breaks down the ego. When you guys connected with me that way, that breaks that ego thing down that you're not really even aware of. And then it it was a big thing for me. It connected me with you guys mm-hmm. when we first started getting together.
And for those people who don't know what Diksha is, general word. It's actually a Sanskrit word that means initiation, blessing.
Yeah.
So it's energy work that Rick and I, we've been taught to do, and it's
awesome.
Yeah, and we gave the gift to Moon.
Stuck with me. It was powerful.
Fantastic. And
I've grown a lot with you two. Oh, 4 years this next month. 4 years next month.
I fell back a bit, but then I caught up, and then and then there was a lull.
Yeah.
And then I went, I powered ahead, and then I fell back again, but not as much as before.
Well, that's the way it works.
Yeah. Man. So I'm doing really good.
You are. You're a blessing.
Follow me on
you guys.
You
beautiful.
Guys.
You guys are awesome. I'm so thankful for both of you in my life.
We're thankful.
I've just healed and changed. I've grown so much. I was last night realizing I've just grown so much in the last year, even especially.
You're looking great. Lauren was saying. Well,
my light is shining.
You got a new product you're using?
Yeah, I'm using Hydralyze, man.
Fantastic.
What?
I got some stuff in the mail called Hydralyze. Put it on your face.
Oh, it's a product?
Yeah, it's a product.
Nice.
I thought I'd try something.
Beauty, beauty, beauty.
Beauty, beauty.
Well, you've also been juicing.
I've been juicing. Juicing's
that,
good.
That's always
juicing
good.
Really is good for your skin. You notice it.
A lot of green juice?
A lot of green.
That's good.
A lot of
that's
carrot,
good.
Apple, celery, ginger, and parsley, which is one of the highest in chlorophyll.
There
it really
go.
Is. Parsley.
That's fantastic.
Italian super. Parsley.
Yeah.
Italian. Somebody was telling me that juicing, especially green juice, is very close to the makeup of our own blood. Did you know that?
The chlorophyll in it is
mm-hmm.
the closest to human blood.
Right.
Yeah.
And a lot
amazing.
Of calcium. Yeah, it is.
It's
a lot,
amazing.
Lot of calcium.
We are connected to the plants and everything. Mm-hmm. We have, similar
very
makeup.
True. Yeah.
Even the ocean. Do you guys know the percentage of our bodies that are made up of the salt? Of salt.
I thought
like
that the salt content in blood, and I could be completely wrong, but if somebody could correct me, I thought the salt content was similar or almost the same as the amount of salt in the ocean.
Yeah, I believe so. If anybody knows, you have to give us a ring.
Yeah, because it might be like, having a moment.
Yeah, right.
So listen, before
that's
we
awesome.
Have any other moments,
yeah,
let's
right.
dive into the moment with Kathy.
Good.
Let's play this interview so everybody at home can hear it.
Yeah.
And we're going to come back and we're going to do a drum circle, right?
Yes.
So if you're at home listening, enjoy this interview, and then we'll take a break, and we'll go right into some drumming, so get ready for that.
Sweet.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And welcome back, everybody. We're here again with Kathy Late for part two of our wonderful conversation talking about subtle energy. And this time we'll be talking about consciousness and subtle energy and healing and how that works. So, Kathy, you want to start and just tell us a little bit about your thoughts on that?
Well, we were talking about how thinking is changing and how, if we back up to sort of what brought up this conversation, was the idea that when people heal in the conventional sense, we fix the physical injury. You go for therapy. You reconceptualize it and reintegrate yourself and sort of put things in perspective and move on with your life. And they call this coping. Mm-hmm. And what I was suggesting was that what often happens in terms of this newer way of thinking of healing is that the intellectual healing that happens is in the mind, and that current thinking and newer thinking now is talking about the fact that the consciousness actually exists within, external to the mind, and that it exists possibly in your heart, that your heart is actually the driving force of your consciousness mm-hmm. and not your mind, and therefore the mind is only a tool.
Right.
And how that plays into the whole idea of healing and holistic healing is that energetically you may still carry those wounds, and that they may impact on your health or your coping in the long run. So so it's not about getting fixed and fixing yourself so that you can be, you know, get back to what you were before, because you're never the same. We're always evolving. But this idea that our consciousness comes out of our heart, and so if you don't concentrate on that as that kind of healing as well, that you're really not completely healed. So that's sort of putting it in all in a nutshell. So I'm going to leave that with you and see what questions you have from what I just said.
Well, you know, I really do believe, and we all do, that our heart has an intelligence to it. And
mm-hmm.
I think everybody who's listening knows that when your heart feels something, it's and knows something, it's very direct. And it's you know, once you get more and more aware of it, you tend to doubt it less and less. And I know I read a long time ago a study where they looked at the inside, the makeup of the heart and the brain, and looked at the neuropeptides and saw, and the gut as well, how those elements are the same. So we're actually wired in our hearts and
yes.
in our guts, just like our brains are.
Absolutely.
How do we use this heart intelligence? How do we use it in healing ourselves? As far as setting our intentions, I know in a healing touch as a practitioner, and any kind of energy healer or person in service, you have to set an intention and use your mind. How do you bring your mind and your heart together when you want to achieve healing? Just out of your experience, what's your protocol for that, if you have any?
Well, I think I can look at it two ways. As a novice and as someone who is just coming into awareness of this, and it's not that difficult. I think one of the common strategies I even use with my students now, because I teach nursing now, is I have them close their eyes and place their hands on their heart and imagine that they can actually breathe as if they were breathing through the soles of their feet, so that in itself moves energy up through the body as opposed to just into your upper lungs. So, and I'm going to ask you to do that right now, is just to close your eyes, put your hands on your heart, and take a deep breath as if you can breathe in through the soles of your feet and up through your body. And then I ask them to, and I will ask you to, breathe out. And when you breathe out, imagine that your shoulders can actually melt away the troubles that you're carrying with you. And you do that a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want you to imagine that with your hand on your heart, that you're sending love to those people in your life who really, really are important to you, and possibly even those who you may not know, but whom you know need your love, and send that out. And just do that for a couple of seconds. And then I want you to imagine that right now I'm going to place a mirror in front of you, and that all that you're sending out is going to come back and hit you in the chest. And in that, I hope people realize each of our own individual ability and capacities for love. And that's the power of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
So I get people to practice that a couple times a day, or at least once a day.
That's beautiful. It really is beautiful.
I just wondered if you were still there.
Yes, no, we're here and we're doing it.
In the zone.
Moon, wake
like,
up. Yeah, right.
What was that experience?
So I want to also talk about how you use your mind and your heart together when you're grounding, when you need to be grounded. I mean, this obviously grounds you and makes you calm and still and centered. But there may not be an opportunity for some people to put their hands on their heart, you know, when they're in a moment of anxiety in a public place, or, you know, how else can we, you suggest people ground themselves when they're feeling out of control?
Well, grounding and connecting, I think of as two different things. So
mm-hmm.
grounding is a process of feeling present and connected to the earth and all that's important here in the physical world. My personal way of grounding was that I used to imagine that I had a very large bungee cord attached to my tailbone that had an anchor on it that could propel itself through the planet and hook onto the center of the planet, and that no matter what happened to me, no matter what forces were pushing on me, I would not fall down.
Right.
I love
and
that.
So
that's cool.
That one I would do. Just the simple act of feeling your feet, being conscious of your feet, and even if, and those of your listeners who may not have their physical foot, they know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That you feel your physical connection and energetic connection. That's more important, especially if you don't have that physical part of your body still, is to imagine your energetic feet connected to the planet as well as your buttocks.
Mm-hmm.
Be fully present to the fact of yourself in the chair and taking a deep breath upward through your entire body as if you're filling yourself with energy will often just completely ground you in the moment.
Absolutely.
The idea of stilling your mind as well, you know, when you asked me earlier, how do I connect my heart and my mind? I go through a process of certainly grounding myself and setting intention for myself to be balanced. And it's very hard, especially in these days and times when you've got, like, right now I think on my computer I probably have five different screens open. And, you know, we have cell phones and now all these other new technological things that we're constantly bombarded with stimulus is the idea of trying to keep your mind open to possibilities and to shut off your left brain chatter.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really important in setting your intention for healing for the person that you're going to be working with or even yourself.
Absolutely.
So people think that meditating is a huge difficulty, and meditative practice takes practice, and it can happen as simply as I always think I'm a walking Calgon commercial myself, you know, because of the children, and I always say I am a walking Calgon commercial. So there's times when the only time I can find that centering is behind the closed door of the bathroom, or you know, certainly when the children are at school, and I have that moment where I can just sit and be still, and tell the left side of my brain that it's okay to be quiet for a while, that I'll listen to you later.
Right, right.
like Calgon, take me away.
Like you have a choice.
Yeah, right. I'm doing the Calgon, take me away moment most of the time. And but it certainly
good
helps
moment.
Me stay grounded.
I love that.
You have that to look forward to, Lauren.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
I do. I believe me, my practice.
She's in the cute phase right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, right. Present
well,
moment.
In a sleepless phase.
Yeah, but I think
I think people do have a preconception to what meditation is, in that it's again when you're trying to meditate, you're not meditating. When you're meditating, when you're just observing, that alone is a meditation. Just observing yourself.
Just being in the moment.
Right. Yeah, alone. And when you start to go, I'm not meditating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're thinking about you're meditating.
Mind gets in there,
yes,
yeah.
Exactly. And now you have experience with that, too.
Oh, yeah. God, totally.
Yeah. But I love the, I think my funniest example of what it's like to try to meditate is if you've read Eat, Pray, Love, it's probably better in the book than it was portrayed in the movie, but I actually cried. I laughed so hard because of my perfectionistic tendencies that I have learned to embrace over the years, you know, this whole thing of I'm not meditating properly. And so I think people have to develop their own meditative processes and practices so that you find it's just stilling your mind. It really is, and connecting to something bigger than yourself.
Exactly. And through the drumming process and what we do with people and we guide people, it's a moving meditation. And I think, you know, if those of you out there just cannot sit still and finding it hard, then start with a moving meditation. You know, even just walking with intent and with awareness becomes a meditation. And
that's true.
Yeah, I read a wonderful book. It was Jack Kornfield, and it's
about, I love him.
Isn't he great?
He's great.
He teaches meditation, but he also talks about this from The Ecstasy to the Laundry, I think is the name of the book.
Oh, yeah.
And it parallels, you know, people that have gone into ashrams and studied and become monks and dedicated their life to spirituality, and then they come home, and how that transfers over, that, you know, the spiritual moment, the connected moment, the grounded moment can happen when you're doing the dishes.
Yeah,
can happen when you're vacuuming the floor,
right.
When you're taking care of your children, making the beds, you know, as well as sitting
attention.
In a lotus position.
Right. Integrated in your
about
life.
Paying attention and being open. It's about being open to those possibilities. And I think, you know, in looking at how does this connect to consciousness and healing and all of those things, it's in the openness. I think Deepak Chopra, and I'm not going to quote him properly or directly, but he alluded to the fact, I heard him speak one time, and he talked about the fact, you know, that what's really possible, where spirit really lies, is in between those moments, you know, in the openness of those moments.
Mm.
So you have to be open to anything that happens, and not, you know, you set intention for the greater good, but that leaves a lot of openings, because sometimes the greater good might be the hell you have to face first before you get to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when you start on that journey of healing, everybody thinks it means it's all going to be nicey nice, and in fact, your stuff comes up, and whether that's physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual, your stuff comes up. And when I work with people who are going through, who are committed to that process, you really don't have to interpret where that stuff comes from. When you do energy work, it's like putting your hands through the bottom of a fish tank. And so the silt, all the stuff comes up, but that way the filter can get it, right?
Right.
And so what I say to people is, because they'll go, well, where do you think that comes from, this whole interpretive, because there are interpretive healers out there who'll say, well, that was from a past life, or you've been, you know, you've got some kind of energy vampire, or there's this, that, or the other going on. I the beauty of the work that I've learned to do, and that what makes me comfortable with it, is that I really don't have to interpret. It's basically, this is in your field. Do you want it there anymore? And if you don't, then let's get rid of it.
Right.
So it's simple. Like, whether it, does that mean I'm not open to the possibility that people carry past life? That's a whole other topic for another show. Is, you know, that if we are truly all one, then that must mean we carry the energetic memory of all souls.
Absolutely. And you
and
don't
so when,
need to understand it to let it go.
I don't need to understand that. Mm-hmm. If that's impacting on my life here present, then I need to set intention that that be cleared. Whether it's past trauma from my childhood, do you want to carry that with you? Do you need to carry that with you, to continue to carry that with you energetically?
Mm-hmm.
And it makes for really beautiful, simple work that's very effective.
Yeah. And it's a decision, like you said, your thoughts. One of the things I learned is that energy follows thought. Energy
mm-hmm.
follows intention. And that when you're clearing things, you just have to make the decision to let it go. And mm-hmm. the energy
and
follows.
Sometimes it comes back, and then you say, mm-hmm. well, I guess maybe at some levels you really weren't as ready to let
mm-hmm.
it go, and
all
that's
right.
okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, we're perfectly imperfect as human beings.
Absolutely.
That's the way I look at it.
Great.
And perfection is pretty boring. It'll be really boring if we ever get to that point, you know.
We agree.
We're all here to learn.
Yeah,
we're all
really.
Here to learn. And it never ends.
So it's wonderful to have you back twice. Have you here twice
wow.
on the show. Again, for everybody who wants to get in touch and learn more about Healing Touch, go to healingtouchprogram.com or healingtouchresearch.com to learn more about this wonderful modality and find a practitioner in your area to try it or to learn more about it to become a practitioner.
Certainly, I think most practitioners across the United States, if you're having events or stand-downs, certainly call, and I'm sure they would love to come out and be of service in any of your gatherings. Because one of the things we haven't talked about is how much does this cost, and we know that people are having to look at where they put their funds, and so there's all kinds of creative ways that you can get involved in this work. So,
and that's all available on the website too. Yeah.
On the website, or at least talk to someone at the office, and they'll certainly put you in touch with the right people to talk to.
And that's also to get involved in the stand downs. Before we close, can you talk a little bit more about the you know, the work with the vets and what you're calling stand downs? I want to get more clear on what that is.
I'm not sure if that's the correct term, because I do know that there are a number of practitioners And I wish I could tell you what cities they were in right now, but there's a number of practitioners who are actually bringing, there are apparently gatherings of veterans and their families where there's exchanges and often free health services or different types of, they're almost like health fairs.
There's one, I know it was a colleague of yours who I spoke with, Anna Yellen. She's got Wings of the Rockies, which is usually in the fall, and it's specifically for veterans, and they offer various types of modalities from healing touch to massage therapy, chiropractic, I believe, acupuncture, and it's free for veterans and their families.
Well, I think this is what I know to be going on, and there's a number of places across the United States where this is happening, and it came to my attention when I was at our annual conference in Colorado. So I know that there's some going on in Colorado, I think in West Virginia as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what I'll do for your sake, Lauren, is I'll find out where they are and I'll send it to you, and then you can post it on your website.
Absolutely, that would be great. That would be great.
People want to know because they don't want to miss anybody or get the wrong city and then have someone go, well, you said that it was there and it isn't. So I do know those are going on, and I'll get that list to you.
We look forward to that. Well, thank you very much, Kathy. It's wonderful to have you on the show again.
Awesome.
Thank you much, Kathy.
Thanks for having me again, and I wish you all well.
And we'll be right back with some drumming, everyone. Welcome back, everyone.
Well,
so we're all sitting around our drums here, ready to go. And we're going to focus our intent on connecting the heart and the mind to creating an awareness so that in our thoughts we have also a heart consciousness with us. So just making that bridge, the pathway between the heart and the mind open. So take a deep breath and sit. In a relaxed position, feel your feet on the floor underneath you. Just take a deep breath in through the nose, out through the mouth, and just concentrate on your breath. Relax your shoulders, relax your jaw, and really let your chair support your body. And as we breathe and as we drum, just allow the presence of our heart to enter our minds and just make it our intention that we're able to keep our heart present with us during this drum circle and throughout. And let us send out our intention out that the people we love have their hearts opened and that our community have their hearts opened, as well as the world and all the people that are suffering right now. So take a deep breath in and exhale out. And we'll start with a little bit of shaker. Take a deep breath in and exhale out. sit in silence. Take a deep breath in and experience the moment together. In a place of gratitude. And with your mind's eye, focus on your heart. Visualize your heart connected and supported. Open. And feel your feet on the floor. Feel yourself grounded in weight. And slowly come back, bring your awareness back into the room. It's so wonderful to do this with everyone. Yeah. How you feeling, guys?
Great.
Good?
Do I sound a bit distant?
Distant.
Yeah, hang on.
Awesome.
I'm just coming across the...
So we're really grateful to do this drumming today and to have Kathy as our guest in part two.
Enjoyed it.
Yeah, feeling all right.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's you always get into the zone after doing the drumming, and hope those of you at home are in a calm place and are able to settle in and be rested tonight. So again, if you're interested in hearing more about what we do with Raven Drum, go to ravendrumfoundation.org, and you'll see some highlights of the things that we've been doing. We just did a wonderful program with Wounded Warrior Project and with the Wild Horse Rescue in Lancaster,
mm-hmm.
Lifesavers, working with some wonderful women from the Wounded Warrior Project. We did some drumming and healing work, and they also did healing work with the wild horses, where they whispered the horses, and they were really brought through an incredible journey within themselves during that time. And if you're interested in hearing more about that project, you can go to bigheartranch.org or lifesavers.org, or to come to our website in Raven Drum and see some photographs of that time we spent with them. So take this drum circle with you, everyone, and all our intentions with you.
And us. Take us with you.
Yeah.
And you all.
Yeah, right.
And you all a good night.
And the earth.
The earth.
All right, we'll see you soon.
Fantastic.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you.
Over my eyes, when I never
as